Hi, welcome back to the Mandarin Blueprint Podcast, episode 176. Now, last time I kind of dove into an 8-minute speech in Chinese. I didn't really give any warning. I just sort of started speaking Chinese, and a couple of people got back to me and was like, hey, I wasn't really sure if I was supposed to keep listening or not, if you're going to do the whole like 50-minute podcast in Chinese. So obviously, really confusing. Phil just got in touch with me and said, hey, you know, we should speak Chinese in the podcast. I was like, okay. And then I just did it. So that was not that professional, really, was it? So from now on, I will, of course, I still really want to do this, but obviously I'll give an English sort of warning beforehand. And I was also, I just had a chat with Phil, like, what's the purpose of this? Surely it's not just to show off, right? It's not just to, hey, look, I can speak Chinese. There are a couple of purposes to this that we decided. The point of what we're doing is, yeah, it's obviously to show that, hey, you know, we're qualified to actually run a Chinese course, and the stuff that we teach is the same way that we learned, the way the Mandarin Blueprint Method works, the way it feeds you comprehensible input, and you know, from beginner to advanced level, and gets the snowball rolling basically, and allows you to actually absorb Chinese naturally. We did the exact same thing to get to the level that we're at in Chinese, right? So, that's one thing. And also, yeah, we're qualified and all that stuff. And another sort of major thing is also, I realize that a lot of long-time listeners to this podcast, you know, you're not just beginner level anymore, right? Which is obviously a good sign. It means what we teach is actually working. Great. And it's sort of a chance for you to follow along and see what you can hear and see what you can pick out. And can you understand everything? Can you understand words individually? Sounds, etc., depending on what level you are at. So yeah, so also one thing I'll do for this episode is to put at least the Chinese, if not the Chinese and the rough sort of English translation, in the show notes or the description, depending on what platform it is, just so that you can, if you did miss something, and you, even if you rewind it, you still can't understand it, we will, you know, it'll give you a chance to sort of look up the words manually. Okay, so without further ado, let's, now that warning has been done, I'm just going to go into a really short bit of Chinese here. I'm just going to say some simple stuff and see if you can follow along, okay? So, 这两周我们收到很多就是赞美汉语蓝图的课程的评论和邮件。其实说白了呢，坦白说，今天的内容稍微有点太好。 好的，我怕你会以为我们是都是那个自己写的哈。在这一集播客开始以前呢，我想首先对我们的粉丝和用户们表示感激，多谢你们的支持。其实没有你们，我们就不但没有办法生活下去。 也不会有机会从事这么充实的职业。So I just wanted to say, yeah, basically, thank you to everyone supporting us. We've had so many cool emails you know, comments this week. And basically, it's almost too many, right, this week. I'm a little bit concerned after reading these comments that you might start to think that we're kind of making these up because there's every now and then sometimes we just get way too many, like well, it's not for us, it's never too many, of course we can't have too many, but like so many positive pieces of feedback, and this is one of those episodes. Okay, now you will also get a ton of useful information as I read these out. I just wanted to warn you that there is a little bit more positivity than usual. Please don't think that we're just choosing the good comments, or we are, you know, making them up or something like that. It's awesome. I'm so happy. It makes me very, very happy to see it and read it. But I just thought it's worth mentioning that at the beginning of today's podcast, because I was looking at them. I was looking at the notes before I started today. I was like, whoa, this is great, but also, I'm concerned. So, without further ado, let's get into it. So So the first one we've got here is from Soren, who's been with us for a long time, really active in the community, always posting really useful comments. And he's written this to us in the community. 大家好. Hello, everyone. It's now been 2 years since I embarked on the journey of learning Mandarin. I wrote the attached one-year review in April last year, and now after a second year, an additional follow-up feels natural. Firstly, where am I? I just finished level 76 of the advanced course. There are 88 levels in total, by the way, which gives me 2,450 characters under my belt. So in total, he's only got another 600 characters to go, and he has completed the entire course. Of course, there's actually not just characters, there's words and sentences and stuff, but basically that's the main sort of content of the course is the characters. I'm easily capable of casually chatting away in Mandarin via text, relatively confident in speaking shorter sentences about my daily life and so forth. That's not to say my pronunciation is great, but hey, if natives can understand you, it can't be too bad. The highlight of my studies so far, I have a language exchange partner in Sichuan who's been teaching middle school students, who sent me a series of questions in Mandarin on behalf of her students. I've responded to in a 5-minute long purely in Mandarin. I cannot read today, sorry. Obviously not without mistakes, but the feedback I received was that they understood it all. Fantastic, well done. Something I'd have considered completely inconceivable at this stage last year. Very rewarding, and it feels like a big accomplishment when at the intermediate plateau where you don't feel your progress the same way you do early in the course. Where I mentioned I've studied for 2 years or less, including recent times, I'm met with what appears to be a genuine surprise, which is great compliment to receive for all the hours put in. Reading my review from last year, however, there's definitely some areas of concern that persist an additional year into my studies. Listening remains tough, as I can't always identify what's pronounced, particularly accurately identifying mid-sentence tones in spoken Mandarin is quite a challenge. I'm occasionally tempted to mark characters as correct, where the only thing I get wrong is the tone, but in interest of avoiding bad habits, I'm not doing this. Good idea. Yeah, don't do that. To be perfectly honest, I'm a bit concerned and disappointed my listening isn't better than it is, considering the amount of exposure I've had in the last 2 years. And remembering illogical compound words remains an issue. Yeah, so I'm curious in the last 2 years. So it's not about the years, right? That's one thing I was curious when you said 2 years. It's the hours. So I imagine you've been spending, 2 hours a day? If it's taking you 2 years to get through, it's probably less than that overall on average, right? It's taking 7 days a week, every day. And exposure in terms of immersion and stuff like that, I'd be curious to see what you've been up to in terms of immersion. Because listening, first thing I need to tell you is that because we essentially, the Mandarin Blueprint method takes full advantage of the hack, one of the very few real hacks there are for language learning, which is reading. We take full advantage of that. If you're not listening as well from day one, you're listening a lot as well. Your listening is going to, there's going to be a big difference. It's just naturally going to happen. It's kind of unavoidable because you learn how to read so ridiculously fast with the course that your listening's always going to be behind. And that's one thing that Phil and I have actually recently started looking at in terms of the course as a way of improving the experience and getting people results faster, because listening is always so far behind. And we've noticed this problem over the last few months to a year or so of people finally getting to the end of the course and they've noticed this gap in their listening. And the reason is simple. We haven't pushed immersion enough. I take responsibility for that. We both do. And it's so important. And it's something that we did. And we obviously have tons of immersion content in the course, but we haven't pushed it. We haven't said, hey, this is today, you're at this level, maybe level 12 or something, quite early on in the course. You've got the basics. You need to start listening now, every day. And that's something we're actually right in the middle of building. We're building an immersion course. And this immersion course, it will be sold separately, but there'll be a lot. I don't know how we're going to do it, but basically we'll probably put snippets of it throughout the real course as well, just to be basically say, hey, guys, you need to keep listening. And like I said, we do sort of mention it, but I feel like we haven't mentioned it enough, the importance of immersion. The whole point of Mandarin Blueprint, the Mandarin Blueprint method rather, is to get you to the point where you can immerse on your own and with native content like 5-10 times faster maybe than you would be able to using traditional methods. And I think we spent so much time building the course and making the course itself as good as we could possibly make it over the last like 5 years, that we kind of lost track of the main purpose of it, which is to get people to immersion content. So a native immersion content and lots of it. And of course, it will first be graded content and things like that. So yeah, this is a sort of symptom of that. What I'm seeing here is, you know, hey, my reading's great. I know all these words. I know all these characters and I can understand reading and I can, but my listening is just always a bit behind. Or quite a lot behind, especially the further you get into the course, right? I would say your immersion is nowhere near enough. And that's just something that you need to work on. But I haven't read the rest of this yet. But that's, you might even mention this later on in the email, I'm not sure. But that's just something I wanted to point out. That is something that the Mandarin Blueprint method does a lot. It gets you like 80%, 60% of the way there. But you still need tons of immersion in native material before your listening can catch up and you can fully acquire the language, right? So let's get back to this. Oh, another thing with compound words, illogical compound words, or at least where the logic has kind of been lost over time, right? You can't, there's always a logic to the words. They always make sense, but sometimes the logic has been lost because they're very old words or, it's just... They leverage a very sort of uncommon meaning of a certain character within the word. Yeah, I completely get that. The only way to tackle that is through the best way depends on what level you are, really, if I'm thinking about it, because you know these mnemonics that we talk about, they work an absolute dream. Like if you spend like a few seconds, or maybe even you take some illogical compound words, let's say like 20 or 30%, just off the top of my head, is of these compound words that you learn are illogical, right? You can't see the logic within them. If you spend, you know, maybe that's like a couple of thousand words overall. If you spend some time, like up to a minute or two even, like really making a decent mnemonic and even choosing an image for it, putting an image in your sentence flashcards that you use to see the word in context. You've got to see the word in context, as you know, Soren. You know that well by now. But I would say it's worth just spending an extra bit of time on those. It's the same with when people say, I keep forgetting this character I learned with the Hanzi movie method, which is the memory palace technique. Well, it's a very simple... simple sort of solution to that, which is you go into your memory palace and you make it better. You make it more memorable. You spend a bit of extra time and effort on those slippery characters that you seem to keep forgetting. And then, of course, if you make a good mnemonic for a word that you're forgetting and you also see it in a memorable context, usually with native content, like immersion content, you make a flashcard out of that. This is a really good tip for you, actually. So, we have tons of immersion content and tons of sentences, so it's going to be way easier just to use our sentences at first. But you can also take the sentences that we've given you for a word that you're forgetting, and put an image into that sentence card that represents the word, like the mnemonic that you chose for the word. Okay, and then later on when you hear it in context, in native content, like I don't know, in a cartoon, a Chinese cartoon or a Chinese TV show or something like that, or then take the time to make a screenshot of that and record the audio and make a flashcard out of that if it's really still not remembering the word. But I would say at your level, it's not really necessary to go that deep to do that final step that I just mentioned, because you've got so much immersion left to do. You've got so much immersion to do, and you will naturally make these words more memorable if you immerse yourself. Like I'm talking like, you know, at least an hour a day of active immersion, like fully focused immersion. If you do that for a little while, a few weeks or months, you will start to notice a difference already. And then if you do it for 6 months to 12 months, you know, listening or watching TV shows and making flashcards out of them, listening to podcasts, this sort of thing, actively, as active as you can, as well as passive listening to stuff you've already actively immersed in, you will notice a vast improvement, I guarantee you. So let's continue on. I just want to, that was a big interlude there. Sorry about that. Let's continue reading. So as a non-native speaker, I think the course gets increasingly difficult the further you progress as the characters and keywords become increasingly obscure. Obscure. Yeah, so like less common, and also, you know, a lot of characters mean the same thing, essentially. They're just different. They're just used in different ways in different contexts. So there'll be a lot of like, multiple definitions, but basically they all mean the same thing. So, but we wanted to have a separate definition for each character. It's the same problem with the Heisig method, you know, the issue you get. That's just a natural law of diminishing returns kicking in. Sometimes the meaning of a character isn't too complex, but the character review is made harder by having the layer of an English word I've never heard of before to learn and remember as well. So far, I've only added sentences up to around character 1600, and I've considered catching up with the sentences whilst taking a break from adding characters, as in their nature, the return of investment becomes less the further you get into the course. Yeah, because each character represents a smaller and smaller and smaller percentage of the language by coverage, right? It's a natural thing. And also, you've only added sentences up to around character 1600. So there's 1,000 characters and several thousand words that are unlocked by those characters and usages, of course. So several thousand usages, let's say, that all have their own understandable, comprehensible sentences that you haven't yet started to review. So I would recommend you do that straight away. You start adding sentences that you think that you'll like. You don't have to add all of them at all, but sentences that are for words that you're not quite sure of. You couldn't use in conversation and you can't quite comprehend as well when you read them or hear them. Definitely add those sentences. And also at the end of every level, after level 13 in the course, so for like 60 levels, 70 levels, we've got 75 levels, we've got immersion packs. So basically all the sentences from that level in a file. And you can, like a zip file, and you can download those and you can put them on your phone. Or I believe people were talking in the MB forum, the community, about a more high-tech way of managing those. So go and check those out. It's like a recent post about that. But essentially, yeah, and just listen to those. That's your active and passive immersion, okay? That will help you a lot if you really focus and listen to those every day. I'm sure that will make a big difference. I've considered catching up with sentences whilst taking a break from adding characters, as in their nature, the return of investment becomes less the further you get into the course. Seeing the characters in example sentences is super useful. I think the above is just something to keep in mind for non-native speakers on the course, and it's certainly not a big issue. Yeah, I don't recommend you stop learning characters if that's what you meant by this. I might be mistaken, but it seems like, yeah, I would say slow down your characters. Do not stop, right? Because you must get to that 3,000. Just because that's like native level, all right? So get to that 3,000, finish the characters on the course, but slow down. Don't do like 10 a day. Do like one a day or one every other day. Just keep making progress and focus more on immersion. Okay, that's my recommendation at the moment. Since starting the intermediate course, I've felt it would be useful to have the translation still. And in my view on this hasn't changed. Yeah, we stopped doing translations for sentences in English. That was just a guess, you know, and I think it's sort of pretty split down the middle as to who wants translations and who likes it without. We like the idea of giving an extra challenge, and we don't mind answering a bunch of, hey, what does this mean? Like, what's the translation for this? Like questions, because that challenge itself of trying to figure out is also a good thing. And also, we don't really want to train people on the course to think in translation. Like, what does this mean in English? It's just look at the Chinese and feel the meaning. And know the meaning based on your knowledge of the characters. That's our sort of hypothesis anyway. That's how we wanted to approach the course at this point. Take off the training wheels. But of course, we don't expect everyone to enjoy it. And we're always open to feedback. We're always changing the course to suit essentially the majority of people. So anyone else listening to this who's on the course who agrees with Soren or disagrees, please let us know. And we always like to have, you know, to learn more about, you know, how you're approaching the course, what you like about it, what you don't, what we can change. have the translation still, in my view, hasn't changed. Yeah, okay. Especially for the more obscure ones with plenty of tricky compound words. When doing the sentences in the course, I mostly focus on the word it's designed for me to learn while saving time in looking up the compound words I don't remember. I don't consider this an issue as it gives me more time to expose myself to Mandarin on Netflix or Link with translations right at your fingertips. And so I prefer not to be too strict with marking the sentences when doing my daily reviews. Interesting, interesting. Lastly, it's incredible what the human brain is capable of. I often understand stuff I don't feel like I should be able to understand, as I cannot recall encountering the specific phrase, word previously. That happens all the time. And that will happen more and more once you do more and more immersion. And the interesting thing about immersion, you'll be like, how? I heard that word. And suddenly you'll be able to produce stuff and say stuff that you couldn't say like before, or you had no idea you were able to say. It would just come out. That is something that you will enjoy more and more if you just do immersion every day. And obviously keep making your way through the course. Anyway, if anyone's still reading, thanks for making it this far. And remember, the struggle is part of the journey. I'd love to hear how everyone's getting on with the course. And thanks a lot to those of you who share recommendations, etc. I'm currently watching The Prince of Tennis on Netflix. As a big tennis fan, I'm loving the tennis-related vocabulary. 我很喜欢网球，加油. So I love tennis. Good, like, go on. 加油 is like a really... What is 加油? 加油 is like a really hard word to translate. Hence why translations are a bit difficult. But like 加油, the closest thing I guess in English would be go on. but it's not quite the same. So thank you very much, Soren, for the feedback there. And I hope what I said was actually valuable. I thought it's something that you can... please let's continue the conversation on the forum as well. Because I realize this is from the forum, and you're gonna get this reply. So go ahead and comment. I'd be interested to hear what you think about what I said, and we can maybe get to the bottom of this and make just improve your experience overall, and just get it as good as it could possibly be, and get you the best results you can possibly get, which is what we care about. So thanks very much. Next is Daniel. By email, he just said, I've probably benefited more in 2 weeks of following your course than in a year of trying to learn through audio only courses and textbooks. I've had 2 weeks of school holidays, which is why I've managed to get to level 3 in less than 2 weeks. It's very exciting to be able to actually write approximately 120 characters from memory. Previously, I decided I wouldn't even try to learn to write characters, as I thought it wouldn't help that much with speaking, listening, and reading. You've taken gamification to dizzying heights. That's a great quote. I'm just going to quote that. amazing. Good educators strive to create that mythical can't fail environment for students. You've come as close to as I've ever seen. Thanks for the huge boost in motivation. Thanks and kind regards, Dan. Well, thank you so much, Dan. Seriously, great quote. And I can't wait to see what you're going to do with this course. You bet. Like I always say this, people are probably sick of hearing me say it, but you barely scratched the surface, right? You're on level 3, got 85 more levels to go, and they get bigger and bigger as you go through. So much. I'm so looking forward to hearing more comments. Please get involved on the forum and let us know how you get on. And we're always here to help. Yeah, and just a word on audio-only courses and textbooks. Yeah, textbooks are, you know, it's not, we don't, what language, you know, I always ask, like, people are often upset by this, and, you know, because they spend, a lot of people have spent a lot of time with textbooks and in universities. I mean, Phil, co-founder of Mandarin Blueprint, did a 3-year university degree in China in Chinese. So obviously it's difficult. It was difficult for him probably at first to accept, oh man, this is not the way to go. But it's definitely not zero value. Of course not. Like going to university is not, I don't want to bash universities or anything like that. It's just that language learning is pretty much proven now, like by the top linguistic research, polyglots around the world, and you know, our own anecdotal evidence as well, that it's languages learned through getting comprehensible input. You didn't use a textbook to learn your native language or any other language you learned as a child. You know, you just absorbed it naturally. And why would your second or third or fourth language be any different? So it's just kind of logical, right? Like you just, the only difficult thing with a language like Chinese is obviously conquering the writing system. But textbooks are basically, there is value to them. There's value, like the example sentences they provide. Some of the articles can be good. Also, you know, looking at grammar rules is not a waste of time. It's not something that you would want to rely on solely. It's not how you actually acquire grammar, but it prepares your mind to acquire the grammar naturally from the content that you absorb. Okay, so if you're more aware of how a grammar like ba in Chinese is quite complicated for a beginner, right? Or le even. But if you know how it works consciously, then you're more, arguably, you're more able to consume it once you hear it and read it in context, okay? So definitely don't want to say they're all rubbish, only our way is the right way. But yeah, I mean, focusing on them, it's not really worth focusing on them too much. And the audio courses, I always, if anyone's been following us, you know, following me, you always know that when I talk about PIMSLA, I talk about it quite positively. That's the first thing I use was PIMSLA. And it's cheesy and like the sentences you learn are not really that common, often like, or a bit awkward or a bit weird, not something a native would say, etc. But that course did wonders for my pronunciation and confidence early on. So some of these, it depends what level you want to get to, in my opinion. You know, if you want to get to a really high level or a decent level, like you want to get to fluency, all right, or just some sort of level of fluency, then an audio course is not going to get you to fluency. An audio course will get you some decent pronunciation, understanding of the sounds and some basic phrases. And that's pretty much it. And also even an understanding of grammar, you know, how grammar works. And you are getting some sort of input and you're practicing speaking as well. So it definitely can't be bad, but it's just not going to get you to that high level. To get to a high level, you need reading. And you learn to read by learning characters. And textbooks, I've not seen a textbook that teaches characters well. And also transitions you from characters to full native content, which is what we made Mandarin Blueprint to do, like the Mandarin Blueprint method. So yeah, so it's you're not going to find great progress with those things, but they do have their place. All right, that's all I'll say on it. So thanks very much, Dan. Can't wait to hear more from you. Welcome. Next one here is Christopher on You Did It. This is the end of the Pronunciation Mastery course. He says, I finished the Pronunciation Mastery course for the second time about 2 years after the first time. In 2020, Mandarin Blueprint had less content, but I signed up for a lifetime subscription. Not a subscription then, right? You mean a lifetime, like you purchased the lifetime and had less content, but I signed up for a lifetime on a sale in a sale later in the year. Little did I know how much content there would be released, and there is still more to come. Yes, there is. I also highly recommend the habit building course. This is a new course that we've just released. I had already read Atomic Habits, but I think it's good to see how that can be adapted to learning Chinese, and it has also helped me to start a good exercise habit too. I would additionally recommend Jim Quick's Limitless, which I also found an enjoyable read regarding your own potential. Yeah, that keeps popping up on my Instagram, Jim Quick. That seems really interesting. Same sort of stuff that we do, those memory techniques. And he also does speed reading and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. As I sit here in the sunshine of Yangshuo in Guilin, Guilin is beautiful, by the way. It's one of the most good-looking places in China. In April 2022, I am happy with my progress so far and am enjoying intermediate-level content with the bonus of being praised a lot for my beautiful characters and enjoying writing to an elementary school standard too. I can tackle reading some HSK5-level content with ease, and I'm understanding more and more in my daily life in China. Practicing writing characters using flashcards from Mandarin Blueprint has even got me a free coffee or two from some Chinese coffee shop owners, as a foreigner sitting in a cafe showing interest in that area is a rarity. That's awesome. For people about to start the Hanzi movie method, I really recommend following the process strictly. Although I am satisfied with my progress and have completed the intermediate course, there has been times that I raced through the levels and didn't strictly follow the actual visualization for every character. Some of this was due to a health issue, meaning I couldn't visualize some things in my mind's eye as I could at the very beginning. This has ended up with me having some characters I need to revisit, as I accidentally ended up doing rote memorization for the characters, be it with spaced repetition. It has still increased my progress and level, but maybe more at the 80% instead of 90 to 95%. Some of the characters I remember are most are the ones with the more fun movies. I also could have done more shadowing of the fantastic graded readers now available in the future courses, and need to really follow the advice to immerse myself in the sentences available. I feel then my progress would have been even faster. Yeah, good idea. Thanks to Luke and Phil for delivering and continuing to deliver excellent content. And as I spend more time focusing on my Chinese in 2022, I am excited to see where I will be in January 2023 and will be consuming the upcoming courses released over the coming year. Great, great message. Thank you so much for that, Christopher. I love that philosophy from a lot of our members, where it's just like, I'm just going to take my time. I'm going to go through this. I didn't do that quite well enough. I'm going to go back and redo that. Just basically quality instead of quantity. Now, of course, some people go for both, which is also even better, even faster, but not everyone is in a rush, and that's absolutely fine. Although Christopher has made some incredible progress, absolutely amazing. So really good to see. And in terms of, that just reminded me, doing things properly, spending the time, like going through, don't sort of, as they say in Chinese, 敷衍过去, 敷衍, 敷衍 is just like perfunctorily do something, just make a show of it, but not actually really do it properly. And that is a really easy habit to get into when you've got all these characters to learn and, you know, you want to kind of just, okay, yeah, I got that one. Okay, next cat. You want to just keep making progress, and you sort of end up maybe sacrificing the quality of the memory a little bit. Now, it's absolutely fine to simplify the process. And as we always say in the course, it's like, keep it simple, you know, make it simple. But also, it's still got to be memorable. You still got to be in the moment, in your mind's eye, your memory palace, and building these scenes with memorable people and actions, etc. And that also made me think of, we did an interview for the new immersion course. So actually, we'll see where we're going to put the interview. But we did an interview with Matt versus Japan recently, and just a great guy, really knows, just such a professional, and just really qualified to talk on the subject of language learning. And one of the things that I got out of the interview with him was, we were talking a lot about immersion and how to make flashcards, for example. And in this, he said that it's, in his opinion, and I agree, it's more important to spend some extra time making a flashcard, like do it manually, right? There's all these different hacks to making flashcards, right? You can like, just upload a whole movie basically to like a program, and it will cut up the movie into subtitles, and you can then export this as like Anki flashcards, like, and so you have all these different clips from the movie, and it sounds amazing, and it is amazing, and it's one way to do it, a completely valid way of doing it, and it does save a lot of time arguably. But if you go through and watch the film, and then when something comes up, you manually pause it, you take the time to press record, and then you press play, and then you stop recording, and you drag and drop into your flashcards, and then you take a screenshot, and you drag and drop, and then you copy the text manually, and you drag and drop. If you go through that process, the flashcard will be so much more memorable that, yeah, it takes literally like, I don't know, 100 times longer, like, because it's literally like, it's milliseconds to do it for each one in the first way I mentioned. But it will also be 100 times more memorable, right? So it's an interesting question, but I think I'm leaning towards manual over, you know, automatic in terms of making flashcards for immersion. And I've tried both extensively, and yeah, that's my feeling on the matter. So it's just a matter of like being there in the moment, putting more effort will pay off in the long term, you know? And a lot of these hacks are not actually hacks, because the whole point is to stay in your memory. That's the whole point of making these flashcards. So yeah, it's an interesting question. But that's where I'm leaning towards at the moment in terms of that. So yeah, thanks a lot for that, Christopher. Lot to think about there. And yeah, best of luck in 2022. Next is Darcy. She's in phase five now. And she says, it still shocks me and my friends just how much I have learned so far. I could not possibly have learned anywhere near this many characters, over 1,000, without relying on having faith in the power of the Mandarin Blueprint method. So to me, this accomplishment is nothing short of stunning. So I've just noticed there are no longer the English translations in the intermediate levels. Yikes, the training wheels are off. That's so weird. I didn't actually know. I literally just mentioned that earlier, didn't I? Well, steady as she goes. Yeah, get excited by that. Feel like enjoy the challenge and rely on the skills that you've developed in Chinese to actually understand what's being going on and try not to think so much in terms of the translation. Dave on He says, hi guys, I find that when I'm reviewing the sentences in Traverse, I will listen to the recordings and practice until I can say each sentence with correct tones and at the same pace as the native speakers. I know being able to say each sentence accurately isn't the goal, but it feels like too good of an opportunity to practice my pronunciation as well as develop some muscle memory from my vocal muscles. Am I harming my progress or slowing it down? Well, you're slowing it down, I guess, but like this is what I said to Dave. It's basically like I can't say that's not a great thing you're doing. It's like it's so helpful it will massively slow you down if you do that all the time with every sentence. I would recommend making that a portion of your study, maybe at the beginning when you've got more energy, like for the first 5-10 minutes or the first, you know, X number of sentences, you do that and then you stop doing it and then you just get your reviews done for the day. Because the more time you spend shadowing, or this is actually technically called chorusing, I believe. It's basically shadowing, but just for one sentence. The more time you spend doing this, the less time you're going to be able to spend on building characters and getting immersion, which are arguably, not even arguably, the two most important activities. In fact, until you've got to 3,000 characters, the characters are, that is arguable, but like the characters are the most important activity just to get those done and dusted, because once you've done them, they're done. Whereas immersion is like forever. Like you can just keep immersing yourself until, you know, it's not going to end, right? So yeah, like those are the two most important activities at this stage. Once you've got all the characters done, it'll be immersion, reading, listening, or watching, you know, like 80, 90%. And then like the rest, the 10%, even 5% is going to be like speaking and writing practice. So it is, so treat it as such. Treat this activity as what it is, which is a secondary to getting input at this stage, okay? That's what I would say on the subject anyway. Next is Jamie. He says, I know this was just to show how this stuff works, but I naturally made my own connections this lesson is just teaching you how to make the mnemonics for compound words. There are four main ways, and we call them living links. That's what something we like to call it. But it was inspired by Gabriel Weiner's Fluent Forever, where he talks about, what does he call them? I think he just calls them lived experience or something like that, or personal connection, maybe. I can't remember what he called it, but we like the term living links because it creates a link and it's alive based on your brain neurons and your memories. So you're bringing the word to life through your own memories, which is like that. So basically, yeah, you think of a word and you combine it with your experience, like a mnemonic. You create a mnemonic based on your memories of some kind. It could be a memory that you've lived personally or just a TV show that you've watched, anything. And then you find an image, etc. There's lots of ways to do it. Or you can base it on the sound as well. So let's see what Jamie came up with. Yijing means already. And he says, sounds very much like aging to me. It feels like an easy association to make with already. I've already hit all the important age milestones. Yeah, been there, done that kind of thing. That's a really good connection. And gao xing, which means happy. It sounds like gushing, which it feels accurately how elated people act in TV shows. They are usually gushing over the thing that made them so happy, like an engagement or a new job. So that's just, I wanted to share that today because it's an important, we also mentioned Soren at the beginning. He was having trouble with connections. So it might be, it's a good idea to maybe review that the living link process. Go find this lesson and review that process. It might be able to improve it. But generally, it's just a great technique that I still use now. If I see a new word comes up in a podcast, I'll save it. But what I don't just save it anymore, because usually I just save it and it just goes into my Pleco flashcards and just into oblivion. I don't ever look at it again until it comes up again in my immersion. But now I'll like look at the word and I'll just think of a connection of some kind. And I'll imagine, like I would with the Hands of Movie Method, actual people interacting and building. And I would build a mnemonic there. It takes like seconds, you know, at this point. And it does help go to, I'm not going to make a flashcard out of it right now, but I'll make a quick thought and it'll keep in my mind long enough so that maybe I'll be able to get it into my deep long-term memory and my active vocabulary by the next time I hear it. Or maybe I'll be able to even produce it in conversation if I make that. It's all about keeping it at the front of your memory for as long as you can until it's cemented, until it becomes long-term memory. Next is Kairi Shakiri on level 58 review. So this is the end of the intermediate now, getting into the upper intermediate and advanced courses. He says, now the real work begins for me. I've been focusing on characters. Now it's time to look for an interesting content to consume so that I can learn the words. I'm wondering whether to keep these going forward with the next course and keep learning more characters or stop here and try to really learn what I've accumulated so far. I know a lot of characters at this point, but certainly not many of the compound words that go with them. So it's like a similar issue to Soren. So you've sort of focused heavily on learning the characters. And the words are sort of starting to slip through the cracks, okay? So I'd say follow the same advice I gave to Soren. Maybe slow down. The characters don't stop, but slow down and focus more on immersion, especially starting with the immersion that you get from our course. So the immersion files, the sentences, and also the long-form content. And obsessively listen to that stuff, actively and passively, wherever you are. And the words will naturally become a part of you more and more, and you'll acquire them that way. And then, of course, any compound words that are being really stubborn, just not sticking in your memory, spend the extra minute or two to make a mnemonic or of some kind, and even make, you know, add an image to a flashcard with them to brighten them up a little bit in your memory. Andy on shush, what's the difference between sh and the shuh? For the meaning when, is sh just an abbreviation? Thanks. Sh is, if you just say sh instead of dsh, it's just more written, that's all. And you'll notice this pattern a lot, basically, because it's more written Chinese. So anything that's just single characters as opposed to multiple characters, usually that means it's just more formal. Okay, not all the time, but usually. Okay, so that's all we have for today. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that was helpful. Just great comments, as usual. Really great feedback as well on the course. If you have listened this far and you have not tried the Mandarin Blueprint Method and you want to learn Chinese and you're sort of serious about getting to a decent level, you don't just want to, you know, learn some phrases and that's it and then forget it. If you want to get to a really high level in Chinese, then I don't personally know of any way that's a single solution that's anywhere near as good as the Mandarin Blueprint Method. At least try the thing for 14 days. Go to the website. You can get full access for 14 days. And then it's just $39 a month or $399 for a year. And it's the equivalent. People say that's expensive for a Chinese course. And you know what? It sure is. It's expensive for very good reason. It's also very cheap for a university degree, which is kind of what it's more comparable to. Okay, because essentially, once you finish the course, you have the foundation in place to get to a very, very high level of spoken fluency with enough immersion and a little bit of speaking and writing practice thrown in. And it's sort of a linear, step-by-step solution. You just start and follow the lessons and follow instructions, and you will get to a high level of Chinese as long as you do that. Go ahead and do that. And thanks very much for listening, guys. I will see you in a few weeks. Bye-bye.